It's NCAA tournament week, March Madness. This is the Half Court Press podcast. Hello, everybody. With Joel Lorenzi, I'm Sam McEwen. We're only here to talk about one team going to the NCAA tournament, and that would be the Creighton Blue Jays, a number six seed in what region are they in? The South region?
Yeah.
South region, but they start in Denver. The Nebraska men's basketball team is done for the year. They didn't make the NIT. The NIT shut them out. They're moving on to the transfer portal. I talked to Fred Hoiberg a little earlier this week, so I'll have a little bit to add there, but we're mostly going to talk about Creighton in this podcast. Want to remind everybody to check out the Omaha World Herald family of podcasts. That includes the Pick Six podcast, the Prep Zone podcast, and the Even Field podcast, which preview the Creighton women's basketball journey in the NCAA tournament. Quick note there, I like Creighton to win their first game. I don't know about their second. It's going to depend on whether Notre Dame has a full roster or not. If they don't, I'll take the Jays, and they might just go to the Elite Eight again. I think they've got a real chance of doing that. But that's a discussion that you can hear more fully on the Even Field podcast. Joel, here we go. It's a Tuesday. You're flying out to Denver, an incredible American city, one of my favorite cities, on Wednesday. Games will commence on Friday. Thursday is open practice and media stuff. Okay, let's start with this. Six seed, Creighton, the draw, North Carolina State, Baylor maybe in the second round. This is just me outside looking in. I don't think they could have done a lot better than the draw that they got.
Sure, yeah. And I'd agree. But I am careful about the words I use when talking about it. Like, people say favorable, you have to kind of tiptoe around that. Because, yeah, it's probably favorable in comparison to what could have been. You know, I was looking at projections where they could have seen, I don't know, I think Kansas State in the second round or something, which isn't far.
Or Arizona in the second round if they were a seven seed.
You know, like, or and maybe first round like Mississippi State or one of those gritty SEC teams. So, yes, it's favorable in comparison to other draws, but overall I don't think it's as sweet a draw as people might think. Like, I mean, for what it's worth, there probably isn't a sweet draw really in this tournament. But yeah, I think it works out for them. Now, I don't know if I see – I'm not granting them that Elite Eight or Final Four trip that it seems all the national media is doing. I don't know if it's because they haven't watched Creighton in recent weeks or what it is. But it seems like Creighton is still the same hipster pick that it was in the preseason. And
surely, I think that's related to the draw.
Sure. And surely they're capable of that. It's definitely their ceiling. But I'm weighing too many factors here. I don't know if I'm so eager to – pulled them so far ahead as national media is.
Because you could have easily flipped Creighton and TCU, and I don't think we're talking about that. Because, you know, Gonzaga is a trendy pick to win the whole thing
right, as
a three seed, because people have embedded in their mind, well, they got the third or fourth best player in the country. They've got a lot of good players. They've been there before. And so I did feel like Creighton got a draw that was pretty pleasing. We'll get to what maybe our final four picks will be here in a minute. Because I am curious, and we can talk about that again next week. I always like doing it before and then after the first weekend, because invariably one or two of your teams are knocked out. It just happens anymore now. It certainly happened to me last year when Kentucky was knocked out in the first round, and I had them in the Final Four, as did a lot of people.
Sure.
So we'll do it a little bit here, and then we'll do it again next week. But okay, so let's look at the first round matchup. They play North Carolina State, a team with two really good guards, and a team with a unique big guy who looks like an offensive tackle, doesn't really play like one. Plays kind of can kind of play out on the floor. He is somewhat similar to Derek Walker. NC State had a couple good wins during the year. Miami, Florida, who is I think a five, and then they beat Duke, who I think Duke's peaking. Duke's pretty good right now.
Duke
Duke wasn't great at the time. They are now. But anyway, the wins are wins. They had a win over Furman, who's in the NCAA tournament, as I think a 13 seed. And they beat Furman badly, beat him by about 20. So what do you think of this team that Creighton's about to play?
They're interesting. And for similar reasons as to why Creighton's good is why I think I'm not so eager to put Creighton in the Elite Eight or Final Four. I've said this a couple times now, but if I'm Dr. Strange, like, if there's 1,000 realities, there's probably 100 where where NC State could win this game. And maybe sure. that doesn't seem like a lot. It's only 10% of the time. But the realities are there. Like, I know Creighton's a hipster pick, and, you know, obviously their best flashes are outstanding. But NC State, man, you mentioned their guards, and I think Creighton has a game plan to where, you know, they could probably let Taquavion Smith go off for 20, 25 and still win the game mm-hmm. by double digits, 8 points, something like that. But the DJ Burns matchup is interesting, and I think with how with how fast they play, with how much they feed off of turnovers, obviously they have to force Creighton probably to do what they want to do. They probably have to force Creighton to turn the ball over similar to how they did against Xavier, which would be uncharacteristic for sure. Obviously, there was ghosts poking the ball out from Creighton.
Yeah, that was a good line you had in your story about that.
So it would have to be uncharacteristic, but if the turnovers do happen, if it does carry over, we're looking at a different game here because the NC State is really good in transition. They love to run. They have short possessions. They don't waste no time, especially Taquavion Smith does not waste any time. And his range is incredible. You know, you start seeing shot making and his level of shot making. We're talking about an NBA first round pick, probably. You get to see those type of shots falling, and it's probably demoralizing. So things, I think, could heat up quick for NC State. And I think Creighton is probably one of the teams that could keep that from happening.
Or could match it.
Sure. Just given how, you know, elite their defense tends to be and the kind of player they got in Kalkbrenner, obviously, like the ways for them to comfortably win the game are there, but it's March. And there are, you know, I think short stints where if NC State came out hot quick, like it would be tough to stop them.
You've watched this team all year, and you mentioned that, you know, there were a couple of my brothers who are huge Creighton fans. One of them texted me and said, ESPN's got, you know, ESPN loves Creighton. They love the Big East. What he said was they love the Big East, that somebody had picked UConn to go to the Final Four.
And who doesn't have UConn in the Final Four?
I don't. Not in that region, I don't.
That's another hipster pick, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff feels based on preseason. Or not preseason, because obviously UConn took off after the preseason. A lot of this stuff feels based on the early half of the season.
Right.
Creighton from the preseason. UConn from when they kicked Alabama's ass in Portland. Like, it feels like people are not watching these teams down the stretch. Not to say these teams can't go as far as they're being projected, but it feels like they're just kind of like, oh yeah, the potential's there. Like, and just mark it, pencil it in based on potential.
Well, if Kansas gets past the first weekend, which is not a lock, because they play, and you know who they're going to play. They're going to play Arkansas.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're going to play Iowa. That's right. Arkansas is going to play who? Somebody.
Illinois.
Arkansas is going to play Illinois, and then the winner of that plays who? Alabama?
Kansas, I think.
So Kansas, yeah. That's the one. Well, if Kansas plays Arkansas, that could go down to the final minute. Because Arkansas is one of those weird teams that actually has just as much talent as Kansas. They're just young.
Yeah.
And you know that because you saw them.
And they've dealt with injuries and whatever. So
right. So they're tricky. The SEC in general is tricky. But if Kansas is there the second weekend, Kansas is going to the Final Four because that's what Kansas does. They're really good at that. I don't care if they're playing Gonzaga. It doesn't make any difference if they're playing UCLA. Kansas goes to the Final Four when they get to the second weekend. Anyway, back to Creighton for a second. Why are they a trending pick? You've watched them all year. I think you've watched most every game in person, but every other one on TV. Why are they a trendy pick?
And you know,
what would make them good in March?
Don't get me wrong. In most scenarios, I'm probably picking them to go far too. I'd probably say Elite Eight or Sweet 16, which is probably underwhelming for some people, but considering the season they've had, that would be a wildly successful season.
Right. Elite Eight would be very pleasing to Jay fans.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And so I think why they're such a trendy pick is people probably haven't watched them enough to dive deep into the reserves. Because don't get me wrong, the starting lineup is one of the best in the country. We've talked about this all year.
Right.
While they might be unpredictable, while you're unsure what you'll get game to game, they're one of the best in the country. It's not really up for debate. Individually, they're great. Have been viewed as, you know, pro level talents in their own ways, mostly. And as a unit, they've had some crazy games. And so you look at point guard play. They got one of the better point guards, I think, in this tournament, and Ryan Nembhard.
Hard to turn over.
Yeah. You look at, you know, their wings, Trey Alexander and Bayless Hyman, at their best. I said Trey Alexander probably more consistent, but at their best, those are two of the better shot makers in this tournament.
Right.
Arthur Kaluma, while a wild card, probably one of the X factors in this tournament as a athletic combo forward if he does what he has to. And then Kalkbrenner is a top five big in the country and in this tournament, and probably the best defensive anchor in this tournament, and the necessary star you need for a team to go this far. So they have the pieces. They just don't have the depth, I think, that some of these other teams do.
So it comes down to Farabello, Miller, and King. And Sharif Mitchell.
And Mitchell, yeah. And so, I mean, I'm not ruling this. If Mitchell was to have any great games, now would be the time, because they're going to have their hands full with NC State probably in their backcourt, because it's not just Turk Smith and Jarkel Joyner. They got some guards over there. And Baylor, if they were to see Baylor, I mean, I don't even have to talk much about their guards. From L.J. Crier to Adam Flagler to Keontae George, they probably have the best three-guard tandem in the country. And that's why they're a top-five offense in the country. They're going to be a handful. And so I look across the board, and Ryan Nembhard probably isn't the defender we thought he was after that Xavier game where he locked Sule Boom up in Omaha. But he's still a solid defender. Now, would it be a tall task to ask him to check Adam Flagler or L.J. Crier? Probably. You're stretching these dudes thin past Trey Alexander. And so you are going to need a Sharif Mitchell and his minutes, the best version of him that you've gotten all year probably. And so you're going to – for this team to go as far as people project them, you're going to have to get at least a good game from a couple of the reserves once down that stretch. So it's about whether you feel they can do that. But as far as the trendiness goes, their starting lineup is all these guys probably need to see.
Mm-hmm. Baylor's an interesting three seed. Rare do you have a double-digit – a three seed who has double-digit losses. That's rare. Rare do you have a team that lost three times to Iowa State. And Iowa State's good, but they're not that great as a three seed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of memories deep buried in the back of the head of Creighton fans that the best Creighton team they ever had, and it was better than the team that they currently have, was hammered by Baylor. And it was a very good Baylor team and a different Baylor team than the one they have now. And basically, they were baffled by Baylor's zone, you know, and they weren't able to figure it out. They weren't able to figure out Baylor's defense. It was a 3-2 zone. Creighton thought going into the game they might be able to do something. They were wrong. And that season crashed down, and that was probably a Final Four team. That was a team with a Final Four potential. I think in the Sweet 16 they were going to play Duke, but people weren't afraid of Duke. I can't remember what it was. Eventually they were going to play Duke. I think Baylor ended up playing Duke in the Elite Eight and lost. Baylor's a unique team. They always have great athletes. They always have a gimmick defensively that they're going to pull out during the course of the game. And they have had a ton of success in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Once you win a national championship, you may not be quite a blue blood, but you're very close, and Baylor is on that very close to a blue blood line.
Yeah, and it helps that they got one of the probably top five best coaches in basketball.
Schematically.
In Sky Drew.
Yeah.
And so, and you mentioned that team to beat Doug's squad. Not a wildly better defense, but definitely for sure a better defense. I think this Baylor team this year is probably uncharacteristically low in terms of where it's ranked.
Right.
Defensively, but it supplements that with how good it is offensively. I mean, I'm not sure why I like that team, the one that Chip a couple years ago. This team, in terms of, you know, initiators and creating, like, they got the squad, man.
They were a top five team for a good portion of the year.
Yeah.
And then they started, you know, to the credit of the AP poll,
the Big 12,
they started losing
hell.
Games.
Yeah. The Big 12 is hell, of course.
Iowa State isn't hell.
Well, the Iowa State bit is interesting because Iowa State is, like, as unpredictable as they come, probably. Real wild card, and it's a team that Creighton reportedly, supposedly, beat by 20 in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how many strides Iowa State made since then, regardless of, playing in the Big 12.
I think they benefit from being in a league that is as highly regarded as the Big 12 is. That would be my point. TJ Osselberger is one of Greg McDermott's best friends. And so clearly there's a sense that if Creighton advances to play Baylor, Creighton's going to have a very good dossier on how to beat Baylor. And that there's going to be a sense of that. I'll be honest. I would like, if Creighton wins against North Carolina State and plays Baylor, I like their chances more to beat Arizona if they were to face Arizona in the third round than I do Baylor in the second. I think Baylor's going to be a tough task because of the quality of the guards. And, I don't know. The one time that Creighton made the Sweet 16, Joel, they were playing a team that was way out of their depth in a bubble. And, you know, they beat Ohio, which was a fine team. But we don't really know what it looks like for Creighton to do this in a situation where they've got to go beat a team that's as good as they are. Because Ohio, the year they was not as good. And if they have to play Baylor, they will have to play the best, maybe their best game of the year. And I just don't, they have not historically been able to do that in the NCAA tournament. They have not played their best game of the year. Maybe they played that against Kansas last year, but Kansas was a better team and they won by 5 or whatever. I'm just skeptical. I don't know. Anything short of a Sweet 16 is a disappointment, right? Like, it's a profound disappointment for this team.
Sure, even though the Baylor game is as tough as you say it is. But, yes, it probably is a disappointment. Now, I'll say this, though. Like, I do disagree on the front that, you know, a third-round Arizona matchup would be easier than Baylor. Baylor's going to be a tough game. I don't think they have to play their most complete game of the season. But they definitely have to have their best defensive showing of the season, which isn't far-fetched.
They played Arizona. They have a scouting, they have a scouting report. They almost beat them.
Arizona's better since then.
They are.
Arizona's more efficient than Baylor. Arizona's a similarly talented offense, probably more well-rounded, much better defense, just a more impressive team to me across the board. Arizona would be no punk the second time around. We look at the first time they played.
No,
the complexion of Creighton was much different.
What I think Baylor is. I think Baylor will be a very tough team to beat in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but I don't think it requires the complete game that we're thinking. I think it has to do with their best defensive showing maybe, but offensively I think they got room to – not shoot like they did at Texas or, shoot, the way we've seen them at their lowest. But they definitely got to make some shots. I don't think they have to shoot the lights out.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the NCAA tournament conversation here really quickly, and then we'll talk about Nebraska at the very end for about three minutes. Do you know – okay, so how far do you think Creighton's going to go? I mean, and again, I'm not asking you to be overly opinionated here.
Sure.
What are the dynamics of what do you – like, how do they – what's your best sense of this draw, which I think is a good draw, but what's your best sense of it?
Sweet 16, I think. I think Sharif Mitchell gives them good minutes in the Baylor game. I think Mason Miller probably hits a couple threes. I think that's as much as they need. I think they beat Baylor, but I think they get stopped at the Sweet 16, which would be fine. It would be a good season. It's as far as they've gotten before, considering all that they've been through. Probably grateful to be there, and you probably end up, comfortable consciously that you can probably bring back most of those guys to try to do it again.
Fair enough. Who's going to make the Final Four out of the South region?
Damn, don't do this to me. It's really hard to argue against Alabama. Like, I haven't been as high as them on them as other people, but it's really hard to bet against them, man. I mean, they've played some really good basketball. They got one of the best players in the tournament. I really can't argue against Bama. I mean, sure, I could see them being upset in the sense of March. But I mean, and the South region is pretty loaded. Like, they got some good teams in there. Bama probably has the toughest road among the one seeds. But I don't know.
Most people are saying it's Kansas because they've got Gonzaga at the 3 and they've got UConn at the 4. The 4 on Alabama's side is Virginia. And I mean, Virginia
can get upset first round.
They can, that's right. Yeah. Well,
I like Furman, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Furman.
Yeah.
But Bama, I'm thinking like, let's see here.
I'm going to probably pick Charleston and Furman to win in the 4-5
games. Charleston's not a hot take. Come on now. Charleston's not a hot take.
I didn't say they were a hot take. In fact, I would put a rule in the NCAA tournament that if you have 30 wins, you can't be less than a 10. I think it's a joke that they're a 12. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to – I really don't think it's fair to San Diego State. I just – if you win 30 games, you should be better than a 12 seed.
Sure. Well, look, I'd see you in the South. Mizzou, I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not going to say M-I-Z.
Yeah, they're not going
to. But Mizzou could make some noise in this region. Don't tweak on Mizzou.
One of the challenges that Missouri has is looking eyeball to eyeball with the first team that they're going to play.
Sure, yeah.
And whether they're really ready to play a team like that or not.
I'd agree. But if they get past that, they can give Arizona a run for their money, sure. I think.
They can give every team in the league a run for their money.
For sure.
Or every team in that region. But so often you get in that first game and you know, all of a sudden you're looking around and it's 17-7 and you're down 10. And you're 10 minutes into the game, and it's like, this is just like Iowa last year. I was like, what the hell's going on? I mean, you have to really be ready.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alabama out of the South.
Yeah, and I'm looking, I mean, Maryland is solid. Virginia, though they can get upset if they make it past that first round, probably a tough out. San Diego State is a good team, though. Charleston could probably beat them.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Creighton.
They never go anywhere.
Creighton, Baylor, Mizzou, Arizona. That's not the easiest route.
No,
easiest route. Maybe I'll spend too much time looking at this region, but it's not the easiest
Creighton's
route.
Creighton's the most dangerous six seed. But okay, so let's go quickly to the East. Purdue is the number one seed there. Who do you like out of there? I'll just say it right now, Marquette.
Well, I don't like Purdue. I've been adamant about that all year.
I'll take
Purdue
Marquette
was fraudulent.
To go to the Final Four.
I got to say this. I was telling people this probably in January or February that – if Creighton ended up, because I seen Creighton projected early on as like, I remember there was one projection, it was like 8-9, Creighton 8, Kentucky 9, and then the one seed was Purdue.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would have been a dream for Creighton, because I think they would have ran through that weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like Marquette in the East. I'm trying to look here. I mean, you're looking at the top
K-State's
seeds.
K-State's the 3, Tennessee.
I like K-State. They can get upset, but I like K-State.
Double-digit loss, 4 seed, but they're good. Duke is the 5. Purdue's not going to want any part of Duke. I think the one break that Purdue gets is I don't think Memphis is even going to be there. I think they're going to play FAU, and they're going to beat FAU. That's why.
I think they could lose first round.
Memphis?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't been overly impressed with them this year. Yeah.
Another deal where you're playing a 30-win team. It's like Belmont a couple years ago. All right, so we both agree on Marquette. Let's keep it moving.
And I'll say this. I think Duke is going to make some noise in that region. They brought us together recently. And Marquette will probably win. But USC, I've watched them a couple times this year. I think they will punch Marquette in the mouth, as well as any team could probably do in this region.
K-State, yeah. All right. Let's go over to the Midwest. Houston's the number one seed. Here are the 2. Then it goes Texas is the 2. Xavier the 3. Come on. Indiana the 4. Come on.
There's probably a lot of upsets there.
Oh, I mean, this is a Houston versus Texas Elite Eight.
I mean,
the end.
I love that. Even though I called Texas overrated. You remember this. I called Texas overrated a few weeks back.
Yeah.
My reasoning behind that was that the people who do like them love them. They think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I probably disagree. Texas is still a good team, and Rodney Terry's done a great job with them. But everybody who follows me knows I've been super high on Houston all year. They're probably my favorite to at least make the Final Four by now. I'd agree with you there. I think Houston, Texas, and it would be a good thing for college basketball. Those are the 2 best teams in that region.
A&M is tricky. They're gonna
sure.
play Texas in the second round.
Yep.
I don't think Penn State will make enough shots. They're probably exhausted.
Booty ball.
So A&M could play Texas, and that could be interesting. But, I mean, come on with the Xavier, a 3 seed. My God.
I mean, they put the work in to get there.
Oh, come on now.
They did.
They're not 3 seeds better than Creighton.
Mm-mm. Well, you look at their regular season resume, and and the metrics is really what held Creighton up. I mean, you look at their qual on Wednesday. It was hard to really argue for them. Like, I could see both sides of the thing with Creighton. I probably would have had them as a 6, but you could see both sides of the argument.
I would have Xavier as a 3.
Well, Xavier made it to the tournament championship. They were firmly in the driver's seat for the league regular season title, had Fremantle not went down.
Right.
And they lost those couple of games.
And yet they got a good draw. I mean, Iowa State's anyway. Let's move down to the West. Kansas number 1, UCLA number 2, Gonzaga. really good number three. Your number four seed down there is UConn. Your number five is St. Mary's. Who's going to lose in the first round?
Well, I like...
So who do you like there?
I just want to throw this out. It doesn't have to do with the matches, but even though I like TCU, I thought it was kind of weird that Northwestern, after all they did in that league, got a 7 seed. I don't know who you maybe move around, maybe TCU, to move them up, but... Mm-hmm. I was just like, to see 7 next to their name after it seemed like they had a great, great year in that league.
Surprised, yes.
I was like, whoa. But I think Northwestern wins that first game. UCLA is good, but I don't know if I see them in an Elite Eight or Final Four. Just off Jalen Clark's injury, I think obviously a big piece of their team. This isn't a hot take. But it'll hurt them down the line, I think. That's your best perimeter defender, your best defender, period. Gonzaga obviously looks good. They're probably in it. Elite Eight, not probably. I think they're there. TCU maybe punches them in the mouth. I don't know. I think it'll be necessary for them to go far. Sure.
Gonzaga plays at an incredible pace, and they are playing really good defense right now. Former Millard North grad. Well, he is a Millard North grad. Hunter Salas plays for Gonzaga. Now, Hunter's interesting. He plays about 25 minutes a game. He is probably their best defensive player. His offensive numbers aren't great,
yeah,
but his defensive numbers are unbelievable. And so he's really grown as a defender, and he locks down the opposing. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm going to take Kansas in that region because, to be clear, you know, I grew up as a person who lived here. I don't really care for Kansas, and so I'm picking Missouri there.
Yeah,
so
I see that.
I don't really care for Kansas basketball, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't matter. They are who they are. I'm going to pick Kansas to go to the Final Four. So my Final Four is Houston, Kansas, Marquette, and then I didn't actually pick a team in the South, and it would not surprise me if it were Baylor.
So not a ton of hot takes there. Well, maybe Baylor is a hot take, but...
I just don't know if there's, you know, I'll say this. A 6 or 7 seed that can pull it off. Creighton might be able to if they can beat Baylor.
Sure. I'll say this, though. Maybe your Marquette take is a hot take because it seems like, and I've been arguing with people for days about this, people for whatever reason don't like Marquette. I mean, we look back at the Big East tournament, people were shitting on Marquette. Yeah. And it's like, dude, they just won the league.
Yeah.
How much more do they have to do to earn respect? And granted, like, now they'll probably lose early because I'm getting behind them, but Marquette, man, like, at their best, I mean, they slid around against Xavier, like, really made them look terrible.
Yeah, they're playing really well. They're just playing really good basketball.
Yeah, and so that's probably a hot take because it doesn't seem like everybody is consensus there. People think they can get knocked out early.
Most people paid any attention to the Big East this year.
Agreed.
I don't think especially they know what's going on.
Yeah.
That's why people are picking Creighton, because if you watch Creighton all year, you wouldn't think they were a Final Four team.
Yeah.
You would think they're wildly inconsistent. What I will say is that if you watch the Big East all year, and you did, and I watched a lot of it too, Marquette's the best team. I think it's reasonable that they're a 2 seed. And the fact that they're opposite Purdue, I watched Purdue all year long. Yeah. And
the 2 played earlier in the year too.
You know, I mean, come on now. 2 freshmen in your backcourt, that's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
These teams are going to figure out a way to slow down Zach Edey, and once they do that, and it's heartbreaking for Purdue because they're not going to make the Final Four, in my opinion. And they've been trying to do that since 1968. Was the last time they did it,
yeah,
I think. And they're going to fall short.
Yeah.
And that's too bad.
And for what it's worth, like, people are going to look at the first matchup with Purdue for Marquette. And Marquette has just made so many strides since then. Like, they're probably one of the more improved teams in this whole tournament
among the heavy hitters. I don't think Purdue will be there, Joel. I think it'll be Duke. I think it'll be Duke.
I think so too.
I'm really
seriously out on Purdue. I don't know if that's a hot take. Maybe some people are still super in on Purdue. I don't know. I don't think I ever was.
Title.
No. Yeah, I mean, they mostly kept it up regular season. I think that stint where they kind of lost their grip at the end there was all I had to see. I mean, really, I wasn't sold on a lot of their success anyway because you see the drop off. Even though I've been very vocal about Zach Edey being the best player, deserving of National Player of the Year. The drop-off from him to the next best option is wild. It's probably more wild than any other team you'll see in this tournament.
Indiana kicked their butt. I think that's what turned me off, is that Indiana's the second best team in that league, and Indiana beat them twice straight up. Then they went to Purdue at the end of the season and kicked their butt.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, but yeah, I think those are reasonable Final Fours. We will do it again next week, because I guarantee you, one of the four teams that both of us just mentioned won't be there. That's the way this stuff works anymore. There's too much parity. I know you got to get going. I'm going to talk briefly about Nebraska. Nebraska. Okay, so their season is over. They lost to Minnesota 78-75 in the Big Ten tournament. Nebraska was very worried about that game. For some reason, Nebraska thought maybe they needed to win two in the Big Ten tournament to make the NIT. I think the one would have been sufficient to probably make it. They didn't feel good about playing Minnesota again. Minnesota presents problems that Nebraska has a hard time solving, especially without Blaze Keita, who is their best defensive center and their best defensive rebounder. So the season's over. Sam Griesel and Derek Walker are leaving, obviously. They have to. They're graduating. So is Emmanuel Bandamel. Nebraska's priority is going to be finding another center who is preferably just as good as Derek Walker. Good luck. And a point guard who is preferably as good as Sam Griesel, which I think they can do. I think there's guys like that. Griesel was a good player. He wasn't nearly as important as Derek Walker, in my opinion, on the court. And so finding another Derek Walker will be hard. And then there's Keisei Tominaga, and Keisei could very well test the NBA draft waters. And if Keisei does that, then we're going to be sitting here for 2 or 3 months talking about what Casey's going to do.
Well, he should be testing the portal waters, if anything.
He is not testing. I don't anticipate that at all. I think he's going to test the NBA. And so he may put his name in the NBA. And there's reasons for that, Joel, that I don't think he would transfer. I think for a kid like that, building a relationship with a coach on this side of the country who has incredibly good NBA contacts is where he's going to stay. Like, it's not going to be, I'm going to go somewhere. Nebraska has invested a lot in him and in his growth and all of those things. And so Casey's either going to be at Nebraska or he's going to be in the NBA. That's my sense of it. I'd be surprised if he went back and worked and played for, you know, in Japan, because I don't know of how many players go from Japan's professional league to the NBA, and where Casey wants to play is the NBA. Yeah. So we're going to be sitting around for a couple of months talking about that.
Yeah. I mean, he has to go back to Nebraska, right? Like respectfully, I love what Tominaga's done this year. With his build and mold, like, there are good movement shooters that will be taken in this draft. But Tominaga, one, we're talking about a dude who's going undrafted for sure. I'm wondering where the space is for him as a guy who, with his frame, even though he's probably one of the better movement shooters in the country, I don't know who he defends at the next level, how you know, replaceable he is as a movement shooter. I mean, we're talking about guys like Jordan Hawkins out there, who's 6'4", 6'5", one of the best shooters in the country, and will have a future and will contribute now. I got to imagine Tominaga just comes back.
I think so, too. He's got to put on about 10 to 15. What I think the consensus will be is you have to put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle.
Sure.
You are not going to be able to play in the NBA at a slight build and be able to, frankly, defend. I think that's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
I think if you ask Casey to score 15 points a game, he could probably do it. But you have to get he has to be a defender. You know, in the NBA, you don't just... I don't know how good you have to be a shitty defender in the NBA, but he isn't going to be that good.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what will happen, but that'll be the conversation that we have. And then there's they're still looking at high school guys. The biggest priority is finding a center, and you cannot find a high school center that did what Derek Walker did.
For sure.
You have to go into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And you have to take your best swing.
And I don't know. They'll have their options. The portal should be at an all-time high. I mean, it is every year. It should overflow this year. I mean, it already is.
Not only a guy that's like a good player, but also is ready to lead, because their backup centers are not. Like, this guy's got to start, and he's got to be ready. He's got to be ready to be Royce Wyatt or George Niang or Derek Walker in terms of the role in the offense. I'm not saying Derek Walker's as good as the other two, but they played the same role. And so you have to be ready to pass and all the other things. So we'll see what happens there. We'll have more updates on the transfer portal for Nebraska by either next week or the week after. But that is our pick six, or I'm sorry, our half court press podcast for the week. For Joel, I'm Sam. We'll see Creighton. Joel will be in Denver, full coverage, all the coverage of Creighton. We'll see if they're here after the first weekend. If they are, I think they've got a really good chance of winning in the Sweet 16. But we shall see what happens. For Joel, I'm Sam. Thanks for listening.